Our man in Vegas, Todd Furman, with us now from Caesars Entertainment every Wednesday at 3:30. You can check him out on Twitter, at Todd Furman. Todd, what's going on, man?
Not a whole lot. Trying to make sense of some of these bowl line moves and get geared up for the final 2 weeks of the NFL regular season out here.
As are we. Of course, the Titans taking it on the chin against Indianapolis. They somehow still are involved in the playoff hunt. Need a win, obviously, against Jacksonville. Opened at 7.5. Where do you see that game?
A number sitting right at 7.5 at this point. By adding the extra half a point to a key number at 7, it's going to make bettors pause a little bit more before they look to try and fade Jacksonville. By all accounts right now, the Jaguars, along with their Florida brethren, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, seem to have cashed in their chips. But I'm just not sure I'm ready to lay over a touchdown with the Titans at this point in the year.
What's tougher for you guys to come up with, games that are right around 2.5 or 3 or 6.5 and 7, or are they about the same?
Games around 3 are going to be a much bigger challenge for us. When you talk about games that will fall on 3, it's about 15 to 16% of all NFL football games that will fall there, while about 10.5 to 11% fall closer to the 7. It's always fun and a challenge to try and anticipate some of the gambling behavior. So like this weekend, for example, you look at Detroit, San Diego, we choose to use Detroit as a 2.5-point favorite rather than using the 3 because some of those dog bettors, they definitely want the field goal, but they're not going to get it.
How much tougher is it late in the season when you're looking at NFL games and you've got teams that maybe they can't really benefit in terms of seeding with a win and in terms of, you know, who plays and who doesn't?
It gets to be quite a challenge. The only thing is we can't really factor motivation into some of these numbers. The key becomes trusting our power rankings and letting bettors steer the price. Last week, a prime example, by all accounts, power numbers should have had Green Bay a 13.5-point favorite. Bettors saw a ton of value in Kansas City and absolutely buried that number before it closed at 11, and the Chiefs get there outright.
Todd, talk about something that I saw you tweeting about, which I think is one of these stories that really is compelling to people who just kind of pay attention to the line. Ben Roethlisberger and his health, how did that line move as that game got closer and closer on Monday night? What did you see, and what could you gauge by what bettors were doing about what maybe was eventually going to happen?
For my purposes, when you look at that game, if all things were equal, assuming Ben was 100%, San Francisco would have been a 2.5-point favorite. If Ben Roethlisberger was ruled out before the game, you would have seen the number go to 4, 4.5. However, once reports start to circulate that Ben's out there, he's moving around, and you get conflicting analysis from different reporters, you're not really sure how to take it. Then again, the wise guys come up to the window. They start to pepper San Francisco at -3. You realize this ankle is probably a lot worse than the mass media knows. Sure enough, he goes out there and is hobbled throughout the game.
How do those bettors get their information now? I mean, are they going to Twitter? Do you see guys like checking their cell phones as they're waiting to come make their bets? It's so immediate now, I guess is what I'm saying, that when you see something like how does a guy look in warmups, how are most of those quote-unquote wise guys getting the information that they use to bet upon?
That's one of the bigger mysteries, Clay. If we could ever figure that out on this side of the counter, it'd put us in a much more advantageous position. Those guys have sources all over the country, whether they be reporters, whether they be casual fans who are watching the game and see some of these players not looking 100%. It's an information game, and if bettors can get good information, they're always going to have a half step ahead of the bookmaker.
Todd Furman with us from Caesars Entertainment.
Hey, Todd, I was just wondering, what has been the heaviest bet, I guess, for the national championship?
We actually took some pretty big limit plays on Alabama when we opened LSU at -1.5. The number's now down to a pick 'em with the over-under sitting right around 40.
When you say limit play, what does that mean? You limit how much somebody can bet, right?
Depending on how far out. When you're talking about a BCS national championship, we'll take much more aggressive limits in terms of who the customer is. You know, it all depends on the game, Clay, so it's tough to talk individual dollar amounts. But we'll say, you know, you've maxed out the bet, we reserve the right to move the line, and then you can bet it again. So these guys are going to look for their numbers, and obviously they took the 1.5 with Alabama. Price is down to a pick 'em at this point, and since we've moved there, it's been pretty steady two-way action and one of the more balanced bowl games that we'll see in 2011.
Oh, so throughout your time, what has been the heaviest one bet ever in history?
In terms of just overall volume that we've seen,
yes.
Or
uh-huh.
You know, largest dollar amounts that'll come in.
Uh-huh.
I mean, when you talk about some of these national title games, last year we were pretty lopsided with Auburn money as we got closer to kickoff. The dollar amounts for national championship games and pro football championships, I mean, we'll give pretty aggressive, you know, five, sometimes six-figure wagers to some of our better casino customers.
All right, now, do you guys do any side betting a conference against conference, like the Big Ten versus the SEC? Because the Big Ten always wants to beat his chest to talk about how they beat the SEC. You know, I was wondering if any of those side bets go on, especially some of the SECs. Would they have six teams in it now?
We did try and experiment with some of those in the past. The biggest challenge becomes conferences that don't have the exact same number of games as one another. So you'd have to open up an SEC, for example, as a 1.5 game favorite against Conference X in that mix. The other thing that we've toyed with as we look towards next year, you know, is opening up a futures wager in terms of which conference will win the BCS title. Probably open the SEC as pretty heavy favorites, but with USC on the uptick, Ohio State was relevant up until their bowl ban was handed down, and maybe a very talented Michigan game, it can make for a wide open field.
Are you guys already looking at next year in terms of putting together your power rankings for college football?
Already going through it right now, trying to run through some of these future projections and trying to figure out how low we can make LSU, who appears to probably be the preseason number one going into 2012.
I would say that's true. Matt Barkley obviously has a decision to make. If he comes back, I think USC's up there too, right?
They'd be right up there alongside him. Alabama in that mix. I think Oregon was going to be up there, but even with LaMichael James talking quietly about making the jump to the next level, I don't think his numbers will change things quite a bit. And then you talk about some other teams that are possibilities. I mean, Michigan becomes the most logical dark horse. If they can go toe-to-toe with Alabama early in the season,
right.
I mean, they have a very favorable Big Ten schedule.
Give us a sense. You said you think LSU is going to be the favorite to win the title in 2012. Is it 3-1? Is it 3.5-1? What do you think as the leaderboard there? What's LSU likely to come off as?
That's exactly where I have them, Clay. I have them right now between 3-3.5-1 as the leader in the clubhouse. The other team in the SEC West, in addition to Alabama, Arkansas becomes another wild card. So I think you could have three teams within the same division all at 12-1 or less.
Wow. When
we talk about Alabama, LSU, and Arkansas next year.
And do you put that's actually
that's awesome. Yeah.
Where do you put Arkansas? Because this is kind of interesting for Arkansas fans out there. A lot of I'm looking at this schedule saying, man, we got screwed because we had to go on the road at Alabama and on the road at LSU. Now, obviously, they got beat soundly, but this year they have Alabama and LSU, assuming that nothing crazy comes out with the SEC's 2012 schedule coming to them. Do you put Arkansas above Alabama in your power rankings there for likelihood to win, or how does that impact?
You'll see Arkansas's favorable schedule reflected more in season win totals than okay. you will in the futures market. The biggest thing with the futures market is we always have to factor in public perception as much as anything else. So with an Arkansas team, they're not going to have the same fervent fan base coming in to bet their team to win the national title like you would for an LSU or Alabama. So you may actually see a little bit of value. And now with Coach Petrino saying that Niall Davis looks like he'll be shut down for the bowl game, I think if he's at 100%, I mean, this offense that was dynamic this year only gets that much more dangerous next season.
All right, we talked Titans, Jags. Obviously, Titans fans looking at the New York Jets. Titans need to win out, need the Jets and Cincinnati to both go 1-1. The Giants are taking on the Jets. How do you see that one?
Interesting game. I mean, the number we opened at 3, and we're starting to see some 2.5s pop up. Real tough when you talk about two teams playing in the same building. You know, who gets a true home field advantage?
Right.
Does it favor the Jets because they're going to have their own fans there? But at the same time, I think the Giants benefit by not having their fans there, who have become notorious for booing their home team. So from a true power number standpoint, I think the Jets are the better football team. Just have to imagine there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes with the Giants that we can't quite put our finger on.
And Arizona at Cincinnati. Arizona, one of the hotter teams in the NFL, having won 6 out of 7. They went in overtime last weekend. Any chance they pull the upset? You seeing any money flying that way?
This will have to make Titan fans feel a little more confident. We have seen quite a bit of sharp money coming on Arizona since we opened the price. And I think the Cardinals right now, after starting the season so slow, the defense has really found an identity. And if A.J. Green is as banged up as they say out of Cincinnati, I'm not sure this is a team that's able to exploit some of Arizona's defensive deficiencies. Then again, I'm also not confident in John Skelton going on the road to win a game in December.
Quickly, just, you know, NFL, these are big games I think a lot of people would like to know about. The Chicago at Green Bay and then the Dallas and Philly game.
Chicago-Green Bay, we actually just opened a little while ago once we got confirmation that Caleb Haney was going to be benched in favor of Josh McCown. Talk about a power number differential that's negligible between those two guys. So you'll see the Packers as a 13-point favorite in that contest. I really think we saw Green Bay struggle a bit, not being able to stretch the field with Greg Jennings' absence. I think some of those issues will get remedied against a Bears team who's kind of limping to the finish. Philadelphia-Dallas, one of the more intriguing games of the weekend. We opened Dallas as a three-point favorite. Number has been bet down to 2. And a lot of speculation coming out of Texas Stadium that this hamstring injury to Felix Jones is a lot more serious than the Cowboys' medical staff is letting on.
That's interesting, too, because it looked like it opened at 3.5, and it looks like it's gone to 2, maybe even a point and a half in some places.
The Eagles have quickly become the trendy team again, and not only for betting this week, but also on our futures market. I mean, we had the Eagles dropped down to 75-1 on Monday and have already taken them down to 50-1 with a steady trickle of dream team money as people speculate that this team at 8-8, if they were to get into the playoff picture, can do some serious damage if they stay healthy.
Yeah, dangerous team there. And I'm going to jump to the NBA, I guess, especially since I watched it the other night. Who do you have favored to win the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference?
Right now, we've made some major adjustments and overhauls to our NBA futures. I think this Lakers team is who was the favorite up until about 3 weeks ago. You know, I see them as being in shambles right now. I don't think they've improved at all. I mean, I have them at about the fourth or fifth highest rated team in the conference. We now have the Oklahoma City Thunder as a favorite to win the Western Conference.
Oh, wow.
And behind only the Miami Heat to win the NBA championship.
Now, do you see a lot of – this is interesting because it's such a small market. Do you see a lot of Oklahoma City money coming in, or is that an adjustment? I mean, you're not getting, I guess what I'm saying, it's not the Cowboys or the Lakers where you got a lot of big-time fans betting. Is smart money on the Oklahoma City?
We've seen one or two big bets come in on Oklahoma City, and our price was actually lower than the rest of the market, so it really gets you to scratch your head. I mean, it's a team that I've followed pretty closely with some ties to that area. And if Russell Westbrook decides he wants to buy into the team concept, I mean, reports are that Kendrick Perkins is slimmed down and going to be in the best shape he's been in. I mean, this is a team who was pretty close to getting over the hump last year, and I actually think Memphis provides a much more formidable challenge to the Thunder than the Lakers do at this point.
Andy Capper, radio star, and now writer, right, Todd?
I'm trying to get out there and attack the media with good gambling content as best I can. The only thing I do at the I shy away from is trying to pick the games myself,
right?
Because I'd be on the other side of the counter if I could do it successfully.
How can people find your stuff?
They can always find me on Twitter, just at Todd Furman, and it'll give you information that right there to try and find the blog now that's available at toddstake.com as well.
Thank you, Todd. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week, man.
Thanks again, guys. Have a great holiday.
All right. That's at Todd Furman on Twitter. Again, that's TODDFUHRMAN. And we have him on every week. Just really interesting stuff.